You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Talk to me a little bit. We're going to go right backwards. And here you are as a young boy, and you have this job, and you're like the root picker. Let's talk about, because today people can't even imagine a job like that at that age under those conditions. But this is your reality. Talk to us about that.
Well, this was another summer, mm-hmm. and so my dad would let me play a little bit of ball, and then I'd have to work the whole summer.
How old are you?
This time, root picker, I'm not sure. I have to refer back to the story. I think I was about 16.
Okay.
And I can't believe my dad put me in this job. I wouldn't put my son in this job. I wish I could have talked to him more. It's like, why? But I think he was trying to make a man.
Right.
At this job, one reason I bring it up, it's just so unique.
Very.
It's first off, it's extremely loud. It's based right underneath a rock crusher. It was called the hammer mill.
Okay.
And these big steel hammers would spin around, and the rock would come in, and it would hit against the rock, and it would crush it.
Right.
And you say, well, how loud was it, John?
Right.
What I did, I took a pipe where my station was, and I hit another pipe right in front of me. I could not hear the collision.
Wow.
There was zero ear protection.
Wow.
All right, I sat on a grated piece of steel. I mean, I stood on it, and then I had a 55-gallon drum that was cut off, and it had a steel rim around it, right? And so now I sit down on it.
That was your seat?
Yeah.
And from this dangerous conveyor?
I was supposed to be there 10 hours. Uh-huh. After 10 seconds, my butt hurt. It hurt so bad. All right, so that was just the beginning. It was like being in a torture chamber.
Yeah.
All right, so now, as I'm sitting there, I have to lean forward and mm-hmm. pick roots off a conveyor belt that's 4 feet wide. It would come up out of the belly of the out of the crusher, mm-hmm. and you had to grab quickly because then they'd be gone.
So it's passing on a conveyor
belt? It's passing on a conveyor, going up a conveyor.
And there's like rocks and roots.
And rocks and roots because it's being dug underwater.
Okay.
So some of the roots would smell just like vomit. It would smell so bad. And you'd grab a root, and sometimes it would almost drag you back on there because it was big
gosh.
And it was wet.
Whoa.
And so and it was spinning by. And so then you'd have water dripping on you constantly. And I call it the Chinese water torture. I hope that's not unpolitically correct to call it that. But that's a torture.
Right.
To let dripping water on the back of your neck.
I had a helmet. Being waterboarded at 15.
No, the waterboard is a little different.
Is it?
But
it,
this is on the back of the neck and on my shoulders.
All right.
And then these rocks would come flying out of there from nowhere, and they'd hit me and bruise you. And you had a helmet on your head, and you hear ding hit your head.
Whoa.
So this was 10 hours a day doing this.
God.
And when you stop, because sometimes the belt would stop because something would break down.
Right.
Everybody, it was all hands on deck. You're supposed to go immediately to figure out how to help, okay?
Right, right, right.
So I was so tired as a young man, I fell asleep, but I put my hand on the belt, okay? What was amazing, if I didn't put my hand on the belt raced backwards in your mind. I don't know what phenomena that is. It raced backwards.
It felt like it was going backwards in your mind.
In your eyes, you saw it going backwards.
That's dangerous.
Well, no, not so much dangerous. Oh. It just looked like it was.
Okay,
it was an illusion that works in your mind.
Okay.
So I put my hand out there and make sure it was stopped.
Okay.
And then I fell asleep. So I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt this big rock thump me right in the chest.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of woke up and I thought, in the chest? They never came that direction before. I look up. And there's my dad, and we call him my old man, standing there with his hands on his hips. He had threw that rock and hit me on the chest.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so he signaled me to come. Do you know he never, in the rest of my life, mentioned that moment?
Oh, wow.
That was the lesson, the rock to the chest.
Wow, yeah, that kind of gets the point, right? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I did that all summer long. But anyway, that was called Root Picker on number 63, Shaker.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That was amazing. I mean, at that age, because you see somebody today, and you don't think about their history.
Right.
And you kind of had this overlapping history. I mean, there was a big gap between where society was like that and then it wasn't. But you're actually overlapped. You had some John Wayne stuff going on, and you had some other things going on, and just so many interesting things, even some Huckleberry Finn moments. I mean, it just seemed wild, some of the things you had going on in your life. But that was amazing. But you learned a big work ethic, I guess, with your dad, right?
Yes, definitely. No doubt.
And so he wasn't a man of a lot of words, but he said a lot of things with his life, it seemed. Right. I know you talked about how kind he was.
Yeah, he was kind to me.
Right.
But I did have a measure of fear. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to talk about him. I call the story, My Dad Bigger Than Life.
Right, yeah.
I think I got a little fixation there mm-hmm. about my dad. Some people, you know, they have this fixation, and I think it affected me. Mm-hmm. Because he was so strong and choleric, I think I shrunk back a little bit.
Choleric means a leader.
Yeah, a leader, doer. Yeah,
doer.
Leader. And mm-hmm. He's the only man I've known where men feared him.
Right.
He didn't believe in fraternizing. Fraternize is when you make your employees your friends and they become comfortable with you.
Right.
And he felt like familiarity bred contempt.
Right.
He never showed his weakness in one tiny bit. He would to us at home a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit afraid of him. He was a little bit hasty, and he was a little bit too hard on animals. I won't tell my sons and my heritage, no, it's wrong to be hard on animals. It's wrong to be hard on anybody.
Right.
I had to learn as a Christian, husbands, do not be harsh to your wife.
Right.
No, it's wrong, okay?
Right.
So I'm not a harsh man anymore. I put scriptures in my mind. One of them is, be gentle mm-hmm. to all because the Lord is at hand, okay? His fruit is gentleness.
Right.
Kindness is his fruit, okay? Right.
And the wrath of man doesn't work doesn't any righteousness work,
it
at all.
It right? doesn't. Yeah. But my dad, he was a little bit, I saw him be a little hasty. I remember one time when a bull was coming at him and he took his whip mm-hmm. and he cracked it. Instead of dodging or running from the bull, he stepped right forward it and he cracked it again. He said, I can't quite say the words he said. Come up out of here.
Right.
You know, it spoke to him. And the bull turned, okay?
Right.
I saw him do it to a bad dog one time. I saw one time a horse was in a stall.
Uh-huh.
And the horse scared me because he kept rearing up and kicking. He was kind of a young horse.
Right.
Well, my dad, he just jumped right in the stall with him.
With the horse.
Grabbed him by his halter, snatched him down. And he said, this is his way. Come up out of there, you.
Right.
I can't say what it was. You son of a horse.
Right.
And and so we all stood at attention at that moment. The horse quit. I stood at attention. He did too.
Right.
So I had a high respect for him. And I think it helped me toward God.
Right.
Because I knew he would always protect me.
Right.
God forbid that anybody threw a F-bomb when my mom was around.
Right.
Oh, I was afraid of that happening because that man would have to apologize, see?
Right.
So I have some of that in me to be a little bit bold, mm-hmm. but other parts I've had to repent. And
he never worked out, but he was a very strong man.
Yeah, okay,
right?
Yeah, that leads into a story. How strong was he?
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. Different ones of us work out different ways, but he would do isometrics. He would come in and come out.
Right.
Come in against resistance in, resisting out.
Right.
And I could grab his biceps, and they were like a softball in there.
Wow, okay.
But one time, we had these cattle leases. We didn't own the particular land, but we leased it. Mm-hmm. And they brought in an oil rig to drill for oil.
Right.
And it was amazing to watch from the side or whatever. It was right mm-hmm. close to it, you know, up to it. And they left a 55-gallon drum of oil when they left. And after 6 months, it was just sitting there.
Right.
And we thought, we don't know who to contact. It's full to the top. I guess we'll go ahead and just confiscate it.
Right.
And we didn't mention it to the landowner, and he didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So now, how are you going to get a full 55-gallon drum into the back of a pickup truck?
How much does it weigh?
Well, water weighs, I think, 11 pounds? 55, oil is just a little bit lighter. So around 400 pounds, I think.
Whoa.
So I was just a boy.
Right.
I mean, I was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And our pickup trucks are always jacked up because we had to go through water and we needed big tires, sometimes just sand.
Right.
And so it was a little higher than your average tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked that up, my dad and I didn't even feel any weight. He just picked it up and set it in the back of the truck.
He was like 6 foot, something like that?
Yeah, 6 foot and weighed 230.
And he was able to pick up the 55-gallon
drum and just set it in the back of the truck. And I didn't feel like I had anything.
That's why you know how to say yes, sir.
Well, yeah, definitely. But he was, I call him my dad bigger than life.
Wow.
Because other men looked at him. I'll never forget one story, a story about Gator Man.
Mm-hmm.
Gator Man impressed me. In fact, I decided even back in those days, I wouldn't have the same leadership style as my dad. You can have whatever leadership style the Lord shows you to have, okay? Mm-hmm. His was harsh, do it now, okay?
Right.
It was kind of an authoritative, mine is a little different. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to know these guys that I knew. I worked in the shop with him. I loved Mason the welder. I liked him, okay?
Right.
I love this guy, Gator Man. Now, Gator Man was a little bit country, and I like to say that he, if you ever saw the movie where Gator McCluskey was Burt Reynolds, okay, this was the real deal. This was the real Gator Man.
Oh, wow, okay.
He was good-looking. Mm-hmm. He was a little bit rough. They claimed that when he fought, he cut. That means with a blade, he'd cut you.
Oh, whoa.
That's a dangerous man, okay? Yeah. He's not just box with it. He's going to cut you.
Right.
So everybody respected him, but they liked him. Right. He had a little cool to him. He was the best mechanic. He was a diesel mechanic. He drove a zooped-up truck that was that he had and had his tools. Well, Gator Man was given to drink a little bit. And so he came in one day, and he missed a day, which he didn't miss. And then he'd been drinking, and something went wrong with this diesel engine, and it blew a rod. Mm. And so a fellow named Bud was my dad's superintendent. Mm-hmm. And so Bud said, "Gator Man, you made a mistake on this engine. You've been drinking." And so they butted heads right then.
Right.
And Bud was big. He was from Michigan. He was a big guy. He's about 6'4", had a big old thick neck, and he was a diesel mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on Manitowoc drag lines.
Okay.
So my dad thought he'd be the perfect superintendent, big, tough guy.
Right.
So Gator Man wasn't taking anything off of Bud. He walked up to him like, okay, it was a throwdown.
Right.
And Bud was probably wise. Why would you go to prison for having a throwdown with a man?
Right.
And so he said, "Bud, I want you to go get your check." And he said something to him like, "We're going at it right now."
Right.
So Bud walked off, got in his truck, and boy, just peeled a wheel of dust.
Right.
He went up to the office where my dad was.
Right.
And he said, "This is what happened, Mr. Newland." Everybody called him Mr. Newland. The governor called him Mr. Newland. The mayor called him Mr. Newland. The preacher called him Mr. Newland. It was a really strange day when I heard somebody call him John.
Right.
So Bud said, "Mr. Newland, this happened with Gator Man." He said, "What?" He said, "Bud, I want you to wait right over here on that couch."
Right.
He took his O's 98. Uh-huh. He always wore a hat.
Right.
Here he comes, and everybody was knowing something was going to happen because we knew what was going to happen.
Right, right.
Okay, here comes a cloud of dust. He gets out. He goes, "Gator Man?" He said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Newland." He said, "Did Bud tell you to get your check?" He said, "Yes, sir, he did." He said, "I'm telling you right now, get your check." Gator Man came kind of running at him. My dad came running to him, and at the same time, he picked up a big, long, oversized crescent wrench.
Oh.
And we could all tell with the quickness in his feet and the depth that he had of picking it up that he was all ready to hit Gator Man right in the side of the head. Gator Man knew it, too.
Right.
He stopped right then.
Right.
He said, "I like you, Mr. Newland, and I like working here." He said, "Get your check, Gator Man, now." Man, Gator Man grabbed some tools. He got in that truck, and there he sped off.
Wow.
And I never saw him again. Then my dad went up to the office. He said, "Bud, if you can't handle that, you need to get your check." And he did right
then.
Wow. I don't mean to disparage Bud, because in my mind, he was a big and he was a good man.
Right, right.
But he couldn't work for my dad if he couldn't face Gator Man.
The Gator Man had a knife. He'd use it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
in a heartbeat.
Wow.
In a heartbeat.
Wow. Yeah, there's some people out there right now that are intimidated by the Gator Mans at their workplace. And, you know, what would you give the advice to somebody, you know, to help the hot-tempered?
Okay, here's what I'd say.
Okay.
They may not be able to do it because you haven't cultivated this.
Right.
Okay, I would say consult the Lord.
Yeah.
For just a moment. If you got to turn away, you got to say, you say in your heart, "What, Lord, what should I do?"
Right.
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 I don't say get into a fight.
Right.
I've been delivered of that, I pray.
Right.
Yeah, I believe we're made to be a peacemaker now.
Right.
And God will give you a word that'll bring peace if you can.
And don't you think, too, that, you know, don't wait till a crisis before you pray for your employees?
Right.
Because, you know, God will soften their heart.
Right.
You'll build that relationship over time.
Right.
And maybe, like us, you know, God will set them free from those things, you know. But, too, I think what your book does, too, you know, also remember my days in law enforcement and military, is sometimes that guy's not even recognized.
Right.
He's just as important as anybody else.
Right, right.
How do we reach that man? Because sometimes society shuns you, and it's like, you're a man like everybody else. God loves you just the same.
Right.
You know, my issues are different than your issues, but we all have issues, and God can deliver us from those. What would you say to that man? He is, you know, the Gator dude, or he is Bud, or maybe he's your dad, and he's running a company.
Well, it's hard to say. Each situation is going to be different. I say try to be ahead of time by praying. Mm-hmm. Each man's got to figure his way. I try to pray every single day.
Right.
I try to pray the Lord's Prayer without making it. I make it different every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come to the part of Thy will be done, I ask Him for His will to be done with my employees and or my relationship,
right.
And that His authority and His kingdom would come.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do now. But you never know, you're going to get caught off with different things that happen at work.
Right.
So I would say, all that you can, try to be peaceable with all men.
Right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN-KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.